Dear friends in Christ Jesus, the text is the previously read selection. Predestination is a term that can raise red flags. It's especially kind of galling to our society where we think that we choose everything. Now, of course, we Lutherans know better, but you know, the issue is, in fact, we know better doesn't mean we still don't think it sometimes. It raises these alarms because it says something about God being in charge and us not being in charge. After all, don't we have the freedom to choose? I get to decide my religion and nobody else. And then there is the boogeyman of double predestination, that God would dare choose to some to go to hell, which of course Orthodox Lutherans don't adhere to, but the Bible comes disturbingly close to saying sometimes. I will make some for noble purposes and others for common use. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. But we have other texts that talk about God saving the whole world, and so we kind of lay low on that one. Could it be fair if God simply destines some to this place of life, to find in this place the promise? And what about those who don't go to heaven? Even if God does not destine them to hell, we have to say he has some say in what happens, because there have to be circumstances. The word has to come. A person must have faith. And it gets very, very uncomfortable. But then, of course, God didn't come for our comfort. Even if this is not what we believe, teach, and confess as Orthodox Lutherans, we do tend to get lumped in with this view. And so predestination is seen as impinging upon our freedom and depicts God as a controlling monster, inimical to views of freedom and autonomy. Now, in order to balance this out, I would like to digress and talk about my dog. So I have a smallish dachshund mix, about 30 pounds, and his name is Toby. We got him as a four-month-old puppy, and he was full of energy, vim, and vigor, so much so that he hurt himself a few times exploring things he shouldn't have explored, and also, like, he went out of my hands when he was like a foot and a half in the air and didn't know how to land and things like this. All kinds of things happened with him. At first, he was afraid to explore, you know, especially afraid of the staircase, afraid of other animals, afraid even to be outside. He's still very afraid of storm drains, which tells me that his narrative somehow has a storm drain in it. But I don't know what that's about. Maybe they got him out of a storm drain when they recovered him. So he had mostly been crated at the Humane Society, although he had been brought out for walks a couple of times a day. But as he grew to know us, he found his freedom. And it was in the very thing that you would think would not be liberating that freedom became most evident. For example, he came to love the toys we provided him, at least in terms of their destruction, which is a way of a dog loving toys. He has mastered the stairs, loves the outdoors, but I would say the thing he loves most is his leash. He knows that when he sees the leash come out, that we're going for a walk. And he loves to escort me around the neighborhood, Creve Coeur Lake, wherever else we may go. And I have to say, God did provide my dog so that my waist would become smaller. So God has made my girth less by this wonderful animal. It is that leash that provides both his freedom and safety around bikes, other walkers, animals, and other hazards. It is also his leash that makes him a very well-behaved walker, who nonetheless enthusiastically craves and enjoys the walks he gets, and is great for his master's health and well-being as well. There is a durability to this leashed relationship, for the leash of freedom is also the leash of commitment. It means that I, the master, firmly commit to do good things for Toby and use it not to do him harm, but simply for the safety and greater enjoyment of us both. I would suggest that the same is true with predestination. At first, it appears onerous, an assault on our hard-won independence and cherished autonomy. But when we understand that it really means that the God who has gotten us this far will not let us go, but will rather keep the world, the devil, and the flesh from destroying the effects of the promises he has made for us, then we find great comfort in this predestination. The predestination is the durability of the promise. It indicates that God has loved the world so much that he has not only saved the whole world, but also you and me in it. He makes it clear that God has gone to a great deal of trouble for us, that he has chosen us before the universe was created, not only to live in this realm of tears, but also to live with him eternally in paradise. Predestination says, I have saved you, I have chosen you, I have sent my son Jesus Christ to die for you, I have overpaid your price in his blood by a generous sacrifice for sins, the Lamb of infinite goodness, mercy, and love. And who was he given for? Sinners like you and me. And I will be there to guide and support you, God says, in every circumstance of life, richly and abundantly providing those things good for your eternal position as heirs in the kingdom, and cutting off those things that would destroy you. It is liberating to know the bounds of a productive, protective, and pleasing God that gives freedom in Christ Jesus. And to know that God sets these limits, not that we might be harmed, but rather that we might be brought to eternal freedom in the coming visible kingdom of Christ our Lord. And so, as usual, God turns things around. He uses the weak things, water in the word, bread and wine, body and blood, the proclamation of the promise, and the gift of trust that the word engenders. He selects the outcasts and the fools. Just look at the apostles, who frequently were real idiots. And yet God made out of them a holy Christian church and brought them, through them, the word that saves. Look at Paul, warring against the church, and yet brought back in to become a very, very zealous follower. He selects the weak and poor of this world, giving them heavenly hope and wealth. He selects the slave and the oppressed and grants them freedom and joy in his heavenly kingdom. And those who hunger and thirst for his righteousness may be filled, and those meek of this world shall inherit the earth. And so may God, who has bound his covenant with us with the precious blood of the Lamb, his only begotten Son, who has saved us by his grace, bring you to his heavenly shore, dry your tears, remove your sin, and make you heirs in his kingdom, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.